This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this first Sunday in Advent. Has your family ever experienced a sudden and tragic death? Death can seem so devastating and meaningless that we struggle to understand how and why it has happened. Stay with us today as we talk about how Jesus' second coming can help us find victory in even the most devastating loss.
On this first Sunday in Advent, the Scriptures remind us that Jesus is coming again and that we are to watch for Him. It is along this line that I will preach today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us a promise that this world is moving towards an end, and at the end you will come. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we pray that this Advent season may be a time of spiritual awakening, and that we may rejoice when we view that babe in Bethlehem's manger, the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In whose name we pray, amen. Friends in Christ, today we begin the Advent season, those four Sundays which prepare us for Christmas and the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we begin this Advent season, our text reminds us that one day Christ Jesus will come again. And so I'd like to read to you a portion of the text for this first Sunday in Advent. Beginning at the 21st chapter of Luke, verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things happen to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And then in verse 36 of that same chapter, be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. Watch, for Jesus Christ is going to return. There will be signs, as the text that we just read tell us, signs of peculiar things happening in the world. Storms and whatnot. Don't you wonder at times if this might be the beginning of the second coming? I do. I thought of that just a few weeks ago when the storms were splashing against the East Coast. Towns and cities like New York, New Jersey, and on up into New England are really hurt badly. Millions of dollars worth of property are destroyed. Many lives are taken. This is not good. And then we see all of the wars that are going on. We wonder about them, but we say, well, haven't we always had wars? Yes, we have. But to my way of thinking, and this probably is just mine, these are different kind of wars. When we fought in Germany and in Japan and in the Far East, they were wars where you know where the enemy was. But these are sprinkled all around us. And I wonder, could God be coming to this world soon? And then I also remember this passage. No one knows about that hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour that you least expect it. Those are the words of our Lord. It is his second coming. And it is going to be quite different from the first coming. For in Philippians, the second chapter, we read in the ninth verse, therefore God has highly exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name. That when he comes a second time, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then there is also this thought that is brought to us in the scriptures that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, for he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, when Jesus came the first time, we know well that he was a babe in Bethlehem's manger. And as he grew up, men mistreated him, said evil things about him, and finally got to the place where they did what they wanted to do. They killed him. They put him on a cross. Prior to that, they had him in an evil court. But when it was all over, and Jesus could say from Calvary's cross, "It is finished, it was finished." Then 3 days later came the resurrection, and the victory had been gained. Jesus ascended into heaven. But then he said to us, "When I will come as a reigning king." What is it that Jesus has defeated? Sin, death, and the devil. And today I think of that enemy of death that so often makes this life temporary for us. We don't like to think of death so much because we'd like to go on and on and on, we think. Wait till you get to be almost 90, then you'll wonder. But you think, we don't want to be shut off from our loved ones, whoever they are, wherever they are. But then the second coming will come, and all be gathered before him. And as we have read, they will confess him as Jesus Christ and Lord. Then we will have a life that is not just temporary. We will have a life that is forever because our Lord Jesus is with us and he is eternal. I can tell you, my friend, there will be nothing temporary about that. And Christ will be the victor. And those who have died trusting in him will have life everlasting. Those are the ones who have been promised that lasting city, the one that we long for. And so we battle while we're here with a temporary stay on this earth, and we'd like to have it be longer, and it can't be. And then we think of that glorious day, but it is in the future. What will we say when it draws near to us? I'd like to try to make this as concrete as I can without taking anything away from the scriptures or adding something that the scriptures have not added. I'd like to take three examples in my life where death has been to me a real enemy. An enemy that if it were not for Jesus Christ, I would wonder what life is really all about. My first one was when I was a young theological student. I had a good friend. His name was Kurt. Kurt was a zealous person for the Lord Jesus. He loved him. Kurt was a person who looked forward to marrying his fiancée and then heading off after his ordination to China as a missionary. And he had great thoughts of this. And I wondered, how can you be so happy to leave your loved ones here and go to China? But this was nothing for Kurt. He wanted to go. And then one night we were talking together, and he said to me, "Feel this bunch on my body." He said, "Tomorrow I'm going to the doctor to see what that is. It bothers me. It's been growing a little bit." Well, the next day I was anxious to find out what the diagnosis was, and he said, "Well, it is not good. The doctor doesn't know, but he is going to take a biopsy on it, and then I'll get the word." And then some days after that, I met Kurt, and he said, "Well, I got the word, and it is not good. It is malignant." Now he says, "We hope that it will just disappear somehow or other. We'll pray about it and so forth. But how far can I go?" You see, the temporariness of life suddenly comes to this young man in his early 20s. He says, "What shall I do as far as my marriage is concerned? Should I marry a young lady whom I love very much? only that she become a widow shortly? What shall I do with the rest of the things that are necessary to get done before we go to China? Well, he said, I'm going to wait until the summer is over, and then we'll see. And then we came back from the summer, and Kurt met us, and he didn't have to tell us. The malignancy had begun to do its work in real fashion. He did not look good. He was thin, drawn, and he said, I'm a dying man. I'm a dying man. It's pretty tough. How I love that lady and how I would love to have her as my wife and the mother of my children. How I would love to go to China. I don't know what it would be like there. And once in a while I would think, how can he be just so enthusiastic about going so far away for so long from all of his loved ones? But he was. He said, we'll just have to take it one day at a time. And then he called us and said, could you come to see me in my parental home? And so we drove those miles, a carload of seminarians, to go up and have our last time with Kurt. I will never forget it. Kurt had the devotion. He read the scriptures, he offered the prayers, and we sang. And then he said, I'll beat you to heaven, and I will meet my Savior face to face. Death had been conquered, even though it had made this life very temporary. Too temporary as far as we mortals were concerned. The second one, when I was a young pastor. We had a young couple in our congregation who were just delighted because they were going to have a baby. And they so wanted a baby. And then one night, she got the call to go to the hospital. The doctor was called, and the next thing that we heard was a mother and the baby had both died. I tell you, for a young pastor, not too well acquainted with funerals of that kind, I thought, what do I say? And I could only come back to this, which I knew intellectually, that Jesus Christ had died for the sin of the world. And she now was with him, as was her baby. But you know, as comforting as that message is when we have everything right about us, not very comfortable for a family to view that casket and to see that mother with that child in that arm. And then thinking, oh, what it could have been, and oh, how we loved her, and oh, how she wanted to live. But then to know that because of her faith in Jesus Christ, she had gone to be with him. In the second coming, Christ will make that clear to us that those who have died trusting in Christ live with him eternally. But it's hard now. It's hard. But that which makes life more permanent, at least less temporary, is to know that when these days are over, we shall be with him. And now, as I've told you, the third story is that of being an old man, 88, and living in the retirement center where a few of the kids are in their 70s. And then there are those of us who are mid-age, we're in our 80s. Then there are some that are in their 90s and maybe one that's in his 100s. What do we hear there? So-and-so just died. Is that unusual? No. He had signs that the body was weakening. God's word had made it clear to us that the length of life is 80 years, and by reason of strength, 80 years. Of course, we expect it soon for all of us. Life is temporary. And even at that age, we'd like to have it go on and on and on. But it can't. We first must go through death. But when you die, trusting that Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem's manger, tried at Pilate's court, crucified on Calvary's hill, has defeated death. And if we will but trust in him, then he is ours and we are his forever. That is the only way that we have any permanency as far as life is concerned. For the unbeliever says farewell to death on this earth when he breathes his last, and has no promise, for Jesus has said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. And so our plea today, this first Sunday in Advent, is that you turn your thoughts and your prayers to him and cry out, Lord Jesus, I receive you. Those who trust dying in Christ shall live. Our death is conquered, for it is transferred from this life into the arms of our Savior, and that life is forever. Amen.
Joy to the world.
Father in heaven, prepare our hearts in this Advent season to know that you are coming again. Not this time, O Lord, to be thrown about by human beings. Not this time to be scoffed at. Not this time to be ridiculed. Not this time to be set aside because human beings think they know better than you. but this time as a reigning King and the Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you have won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. We thank you that we can know for sure that we are yours and you are ours. And nothing can separate us. For those who this day are dying, we pray that you will be with them. Strengthen them with your word and promises. And grant, Lord Jesus, that they may know that there is a peace that passes all understanding awaiting you. Comfort those who stand around you. Be with those who are now mourning the loss of a loved one. O Lord Jesus, we know that this is what the Christian faith is all about. So hear us as we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped strengthen your faith, especially during life's unsettling and desperate situations, by knowing you have a Savior who has conquered sin, death, and the devil. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the financial gifts of those who have been helped by his message and want to join us in reaching others. We're especially grateful for our gift every month, Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we're able to take Visa and MasterCard donations by phone or mail. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church and others who desire to hear the Word of God. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help defray production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, call 277-0924. You can also find audio and printed versions of today's service on the internet. Please visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 76th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.